I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Into the 8 o'clock hour, you will get another chance. If you didn't win this time around, you'll get another chance between 8:45 and 9 o'clock today to win tickets to the Texans home opener against the Jaguars. Your only place that you can win tickets to the Texans anywhere on the dial is right here on Sports Radio 610. Your home of Houston Texans football and Houston sports leader.
Or on the radio.com app, which you should all download.
You should.
I listen
to Payne and Pendergast.
I actually use the radio.com app to listen exclusively now in my car because it's just easier. I just say, hey, bleep, open radio.com.
App, yeah.
And then it just autoplays. So it's really cool.
Isn't that nice?
It's very nice. Oh, it's very technology. The world I've lived in where robots are at my beck and call is closer and closer every day.
Yeah.
And I can't await till the sweet, sweet moment when I don't have to interact with humans at all anymore.
What's the one?
Other than my wife and daughter, I love them, obviously.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I don't want to have to deal with any of the other ones.
What's the one thing, if you could draft an ability of a robot for you, I just want to hear you say it. What would you draft the robot to do?
The carnal things, as of course. Okay, isn't that what everybody? Sure. That's if you're
sometimes
be truth,
the right questions truth, to ask are the obvious
truth,
ones.
Truth be told, but other than that, for stuff, I would say the thing that would probably, I think having a butler, right? Having a butler / cleaning person.
Yeah,
that's what everybody would want. That's the ultimate. And I think that there are rich people that don't want a butler or a full-time maid because they don't want the pain in the ass of having a human being around. They listen. They've got ears. They get into your business and everything. I think just having somebody around to do every little menial task that you don't want to do, and especially if it's a robot, though, then it's even more so. It doesn't have to be it could be stuff like, clean my underside for me. I don't want to die.
Your undercarriage?
Like something you would never ask an actual butler to do unless you're a monster.
Right.
Right.
Would a mini bidet shoot out of its stomach or something like that? Like R2-D2?
They could go ahead and use their hands in a glove. I don't care. Well, it's not a human. Yeah. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
Trim my nether regions.
You're good.
Right. Like, you're never going to have a butler do that,
no.
Right? Unless you're some weirdo in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But...
Maybe
a film producer Weinstein.
You'd be setting yourself up for some future lawsuits, probably.
Yeah.
With a mere request.
You know what I would do everything with my robot that Harvey Weinstein did with human beings.
There you go.
It would be perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no soul inside of that machine.
Exactly.
You're not warping anybody. It's a robot.
Yeah.
I would say mine would be, other than the carnal things, mine would be the ability to just shout out a food item.
Uh-huh.
And it immediately figures out the most efficient way to get that item too. Like if I yelled turkey pot pie,
right?
It would know that the thing to do is to walk over to my freezer,
yep,
grab a turkey pot pie, and then go either put it in the oven that's already built into the robot, or go put it in the actual oven in my house and cook it.
And that robot,
if I were to scream Big Mac, it would know to automatically dial, Uber Eats or whatever, and call up. It would know whether or not those foods were in the house to cook themselves or if they needed to call out for it.
I feel like that's the simplest part. I think that would be, I feel like they've already got the AI for that.
You think?
Yeah. They don't have the robot that can do it.
Yeah,
but that's all you need.
That's
is
the problem.
But the AI, like, there's just the robot's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, the robot would do anything and everything that a normal butler, like a butler that would go above and beyond, would do. Plus, they can work 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it. I mean, it's really going to, I don't know how many butler jobs we're going to lose to robots, and that's sad and unfortunate, but ultimately, it'll be for the good of mankind.
You know what else I don't want from my robot? To talk to me.
Yeah,
I hated about C-3PO in the Star Wars movies.
Oh,
dude wouldn't shut up.
Like, yeah, you guys can travel from planet to planet and galaxy to galaxy, but you can't get that stupid robot to shut up.
I am fluent in 6 million forms of communication. Like, you know what would be a better number? Zero. It would be awesome if you were fluent in zero forms of communication.
Maybe that was by design,
Dole
though, to
freak.
Give him, because he would be kind of a conscience for people.
Maybe. I don't know. He was just a really annoying British person is what it turned out he was.
I might want to, that might help, though, too. I might like to have a C-3PO in my life when I'm out drinking to keep me from doing stupid things.
That wouldn't be bad.
And then I would just know, like, okay, C-3PO, I'm angry at you, but you're probably right.
Yep. All right, so proof that Deshaun Watson is not a robot. He bleeds. He bruises. When he falls down, he gets hurt. He fell on his butt scoring a touchdown in the Monday night game. Here's Deshaun Watson's update on his health.
I felt fine. I was able to go out and you know, participate with the team and do everything I've been doing before.
So he's good. So Deshaun Watson is going to be fine. He will play on Sunday.
I actually felt pretty good about him when I saw the trainer massaging his butt on the sideline. I figured that I know that spot when you get hit or bruised right there, and it's a rough spot to get a Charlie horse on your butt.
Charlie butt?
Yeah.
You think the trainer was like, I wish there was a robot that would do this?
Yes. You see him getting over there worked on by some.
I know there's tens of thousands of people that would love to be in my spot right now massaging Deshaun Watson's butt.
Some Westworld robot dressed up like a cowboy rubbing his butt. It'd be like, you know, like a non-sexual Brokeback Mountain. It'd be just a cowboy.
Players get to choose their own robot motif.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson has a French-made robot rubbing his butt on the sidelines right now. But it looks like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he
didn't take any hits. He took a rough hit on one of the touchdown passes. Well, the Kenny Stills touchdown, he took a pretty tough hit.
Blistered on the Stills touchdown.
That one I would worry about more than anything than the
and the Watson one in the back of the end zone. The first Hopkins.
Yeah.
The first Hopkins touchdown back of the end zone, that was a hit as he threw situation as well.
Hey, you know one thing I noticed that I've
got hit 11 times in the game.
In my mind, this is one thing that happened Monday night that was encouraging to me, is that the Saints blitzed a lot. They tested Deshaun Watson. Sometimes it worked. It gave you 6 sacks. Sometimes it didn't. And on that Kenny Stills touchdown, that was on a blitz. Deshaun did a great job throwing. There was nothing the Texans could really do to stop that blitz completely. Deshaun had to get rid of it, but he knew that he had zero coverage, no safety help. So he just unleashed it, and it was perfect. It was really well designed. There were other plays where the blitzes worked, and some of them were on bootlegs. Really hard for a young quarterback. Think about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson plays out of the gun his whole career, high school and college, comes to the NFL, has to learn how to play under center. If you can imagine what it's like as a quarterback to be adjusting to life in the NFL, but then also when you're under center and running play action, you're going to turn your back to the defense. You're going to be completely blind to the defense. And then when you turn around, you got to diagnose everything that happened in the 1 or 1.5 seconds before that. And a whole lot can change in that. Plus, if you're about to roll out on a bootleg, all of a sudden there's a guy in your face because it's a corner blitz.
Yep.
That happened in the game. That happened a couple times in the game where Deshaun was under center, turns his back to the defense, turns around on a bootleg, and there's somebody immediately in his face. Couple times it led to incompletions. Couple times it led to completions. One time it led to a Deshaun scramble for yardage and a first down. He did a really good job adjusting to it. He wasn't perfect, and I don't think he was so good that teams are going to be afraid to blitz him, but he's on his way there. And that was really encouraging to me. The fact that he saw pressure, handled it, diagnosed the defense, he handled multiple things in his brain while also under physical duress and mental duress in a way that I don't think I'd quite seen it before. That part was really encouraging.
The Kenny Stills pickup is going to be a very underrated pickup. Well, I think it still is, even with the touchdown catch, an underrated pickup for this team. And I think it's going to be one that if he stays healthy throughout this year, there's going to be a lot of times during the season where we're going to be really happy Kenny Stills is on this team. And I say that, Seth, because of the not just the injuries to Fuller and QT last year. I would say it's probably been 2015 was probably the last time that the Texans had capable veteran pass catchers other than DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm not talking about guys that set the world on fire. I'm just talking about guys that you feel like they're going to run the right route. When you throw the ball in their area, they're going to catch it. They can maybe get behind a defense every now and then. That year was really the breakout year for DeAndre Hopkins in 2015. But you had Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington on that team, who were both very solid veteran kind of guys.
Yep.
And then they draft Fuller and they draft Braxton Miller. And really since then, they've kind of been relying on younger guys to piece this thing together. And when Will Fuller's one of them, and he gets banged up and he gets hurt, you wind up like you did last year with DeAndre Carter and Vincent Smith being your next two guys in that rotation. Kenny Stills, very underrated, man.
Kenny Stills underrated, and this is the part where there's part of me with Bill O'Brien being the GM that I just pull back and I'm saying, all right, don't be too aggressive. Don't spend all that money now. I don't want to get in trouble later. There's part of me that wants to see what it's like with Bill O'Brien actually having offensive weapons that he wants. And I think we saw that on Monday night. I think we saw a little bit of that where Laremy Tunsil's going to get better, but you could also do some things because Laremy Tunsil was in there that maybe you couldn't do before. But especially with Duke Johnson out there, like you said, with multiple wide receivers that are a threat, and we still have to wait and see when Kiki QT comes back what that means for the offense. This might be the first year, blessedly, finally, mercifully, that we actually get to see what Bill O'Brien's offense is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. That's exciting.
Very much so. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Nick Martin signed to an extension. Deshaun Watson had thoughts on his center getting a nice big deal.
Everything he's put in for this organization, for himself, on and off the field, coming back from injuries, being able to come in and lead that O-line group. You know, it's hard to play center in this offense. It's a lot of information, a lot of things that you got to call at the line of scrimmage and make sure everyone is on the same page. So, yeah, he deserves it. Congratulations to him, and definitely more dinners for him to pay for the offense.
All right, so there you go. Deshaun Watson, his friend Nick Martin is a very wealthy man.
And it is. And when you watch, I would encourage you, when you watch the game this weekend, if you've never noticed it before, watch what Nick Martin does before the snap. It's what centers have to do before the snap. A whole lot of identifying linebackers, calling out protections, making changes before the snap. That's when Bill O'Brien talks about Nick Martin being a smart guy. That's what he's talking about more than anything. The thing I've always been concerned about is how the Texans offensive line adjusts to things on the fly during the snap, and that they haven't always been great at identifying stunts and blitzes and adjusting to them. One of the encouraging things from Monday night, despite the six sacks, I'm not letting them off the hook for the six sacks, don't get me wrong, but a lot of those things were fixable and more immediately fixable. The good plays the Texans had on offense with the offensive line, they showed a certain sense of cohesion, and they showed a certain sense of certitude, if that's the right word, where they flat out knew what they were doing. It was a certain competence that I haven't seen out of them, especially in the run game. And guys sorted out the defense. And as remember, this is a Saints team that shifts around a lot and moves around a lot. They sorted out what their assignments were a lot better and a lot faster and with a lot more confidence than they have before. So I was really happy to see that. I still think they paid Nick Martin too much because I think Nick Martin would have accepted less. There's no reason for Nick Martin to think that he should have been the second highest paid center.
Right.
That part of it is still going to gnaw at me, that why did you give him so much more money than you had to? That you don't. There's no reason, given his leverage and his injury history, that he should have been the second highest paid center. But having said all that, after game one, I'm optimistic about Nick Martin's future as a center.
713-572-4610. That is our phone line and our text line. Bottom of the hour, we want to do a segment where we look at situations with the Texans in the past, off-field situations, and ask ourselves, how would Jack Easterby have handled these situations with the Texans? You're the one you brought up was the KC3, the three guys that got caught smoking weed at the hotel.
Yeah.
Stuff like Ed Reed, how would Jack Easterby have handled that? And genesis of that was earlier we wondered if Antonio Brown or if Jack Easterby were still the Patriots, would Antonio Brown be a Patriot right now? We'll hit that bottom of the hour, but text in some situations you want us to analyze. 713-572-4610. About a half hour from now, we'll open up the window for your next chance to win Texans and Jags tickets on a Texans Ticket Thursday. Up next, concern. Do we have any concern over the all or nothing nature of the way the Astros pitching is working right now? Once October rolls around, we'll explain and discuss next. So the playoffs will be here before we know it in baseball. We're just a couple weeks away. The Astros, I think, only have like 17 games left. I just need them to win two games. I have over 96.5 wins. They've been stuck on 95 the last couple nights.
Mm-hmm.
I just want them to get to 97, and then I can just kind of phone it in for the rest of the regular season and then get ready for playoff baseball.
You really, from two nights ago, you can blame a whole bunch of different people, from Wade Miley onto the multiple relievers that ended up giving up. I believe it was 97 runs in that one game. And last night, Josh James just fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Are you concerned? I mean, I know this sounds a little bit greedy to say, like, boy, are you concerned about only having Verlander and Cole that are really pitching at a high level right now, considering the fact that they are so far out in front of everybody else in baseball right now, the two of them as starting pitchers? But are you concerned about the all or nothing nature of the way the Astros are pitching right now?
I think it'd be a moron not to be, right? Because the biggest fear you have also is that it's not just Verlander or Cole. Unless you're expecting them to go nine innings every game they play in the playoffs, you need to worry about whether all their good work can be undone over the course of two innings.
Right.
That's a serious, serious concern. And I think at least part of it with the bullpen is a little bit flukish, just a little bit, because part of it is obviously based on, oh yeah, Presley's been banged up and injured and hopefully he's going to come back and be fine. Peacock, it was just a hypothetical for a long time. Well, hey, look, he'll be fine in the bullpen. It's going to be a big help for you when he gets there. But then health became a concern. Peacock and Presley are going to be huge. I feel a whole lot better about either of those guys coming in versus Josh James or anybody else that might come in and be a serious issue in the playoffs. I think the biggest thing that I have going for my mental state right now is that Verlander and Cole are so dominant and so hot right now, neck and neck for the Cy Young. I wish they hated each other so there could be some drama to report that maybe these two were just sabotaging each other in the clubhouse or something so they could win the Cy Young.
Or they're secretly calling up some of the voters to make their case for the Cy Young.
Yeah, oh yeah, lobbying.
I feel like Verlander would be better at that just because of tenure. Like, he's probably built more relationships around the league.
He'd be better at it. I do
feel... because he's a career American League guy.
Instead, we get the very boring... I feel like Verlander actually wants Cole to win it, probably, because it would be nice for Cole.
I don't know, man. If there's an incentive in his contract.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Talking about he's got kids to feed, right? Is Kate Upton pregnant yet?
Did she have
a kid?
I think she had a baby. Yeah, I thought she did.
I lose track of everything. Correa, I was talking about Correa like he'd already been married the other day, and then I remembered,
next February.
It's next offseason. Yeah.
The second biggest wedding in town next February.
Except it's in Puerto Rico.
Okay. But of a Houston sports figure.
Did JJ announce where his is?
Mine's the first. Huh?
Did JJ announce where his is?
No, I don't think so.
Dragging your feet, JJ. Get on that.
It's really tough for me to be competing with Carlos Correa and JJ Watt in the same year with my wedding. I'm trying to be the go-to event of the year in 2020.
You're trying to make this.
These two highly paid icons are going to outdo me.
How do you make page six of the Houston Press?
I don't know.
When
I'll need to do something noteworthy between now and then where I, maybe not like Antonio Brown noteworthy, but I probably need to be a little more eccentric.
Yeah,
I create some buzz.
You gotta, at the very least, start dressing loudly or something, so that when you're at a Rockets game, you know what?
Or you and I need to get into a fight on the air.
You could become the new, that's passing, I found, in terms of your note around it. You could be the new Craig Sager, but like a local Craig Sager. Well, you've already got, though, Calvin's already got the wild dress lockdown.
You're talking about from a fashion standpoint.
Yeah. You know, Calvin's already got that on lockdown.
That's his gimmick.
You showing up at Rockets game peacocking. What if you got?
I feel like Calvin might fight me if I did that.
What if the guy that peacocks at Texans games?
Yeah.
It's hard to get a lot of time though. If you sit courtside at a Rockets game, or if you when you go and you sit with Wallace Mersch at Astros games behind home plate, be dressed loudly. Dress up like a pimp behind
Wallace,
home plate.
If you're listening, I need an invite to a game soon.
You'll be the guy. You'll be like the Marlins guy, but a much less annoying one.
He should want to help. He's my best man. He should want to help me in that
Wallace
endeavor.
Is not the Marlins guy. I thought the Marlins man was.
That'd be
like,
amazing,
why are you
though.
Doing that?
Yeah, okay. that would be incredible.
So yeah, well, let's do that. Okay. You're going to be loudly dressed, obnoxiously dressed, maybe Astros guy.
Okay.
JJ's got to be, JJ, don't become one of these couples that's engaged for 4 years and you keep putting it off.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to put that date out there at some point.
But I will say this, if, you know, week one is any indicator, JJ does not need any more on his plate right now.
No.
Like, we don't need him going home at night after practice and he's getting handed a list of six things he needs to do for the wedding. Like, he needs to, after a statless week one, he needs to be focused on football. In fact, he said yesterday, I was not very good on Monday night against the Saints.
I've had bad games before and I'll have bad games again. But people like to focus on it and I don't blame them. I mean, I understand, but I'm focused on Jacksonville. It's my job to go out there and not do that again. So that's what I'll do.
Yes or no, does J.J. Watt get a sack this weekend against Gardner Minshew?
I hate to predict sacks because you can have an awesome day rushing the passer and not get any sacks.
It makes it so good for the book. Very unpredictable.
Does he get three quarterback hits? I'll say yes, he gets three quarterback hits.
I'm going to say yes, too.
I think especially versus the Jaguars. The Jaguars have a long history of getting weirdly and unjustifiably cocky with how they choose to protect J.J. Watt. They'll leave... They'll leave woeful offensive tackles on islands with JJ and act like, yeah, we know what we'll handle this just fine. Yeah. Don't worry about us. Then he gets three sacks and they'll make excuses for it.
Right.
So I think that JJ gets at least three quarterback hits in this game.
They have a long history of letting JJ Watt pulverize their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
1.3 sacks per game
against the Jaguars. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people always bring that up when they'll try to, people have arguments against JJ's greatness and they'll say, well, he's gotten the majority of those against these bad teams. Go back to any guy that's gotten a whole bunch of sacks. And yeah, they, guess what? They beat up on the lower opponent. They beat up on the lesser opponents. That's just kind of the way it works.
Our crack research staff, Chris Jones, our producer, just got in my ear and said they have a third string tackle playing in this game. They have a third string tackle playing. And also the side that JJ Watt lines up to is Juwan Taylor, who's the rookie. They drafted out of Florida. He's their right tackle. So JJ, if he's lined up where he's usually, you know, if Cornell doesn't move him around, he's going to be lined up over top of a rookie making his second start.
That's the one thing that I could say is that this Gardner Mayhew, I'm urging people not to take him lightly. I'm not saying he's going to come out and be Steve Young versus you or anything, but he is capable of extending the play. If there's things you want to see if a quarterback can do and you're not quite sure early on when a quarterback has success, you would say, first of all, okay, can he throw into tight windows? Yeah, he did that. He did that in the game on Sunday. Can he throw to the sideline? That's a little bit dicier and trickier. I don't think we saw as many instances of that in that game. Can he attack you downfield? Yeah, we saw that. And then especially with a younger quarterback, what I worry about is can he extend the play?
Yeah.
He extended the play pretty well game a few times.
He did. You know, it was one of those games, Seth. I didn't watch it on its first run through. I was watching Red Zone Channel, so I only saw the highlights of the game. But like everybody, I saw the box score, heard the stats. And I rewatched it yesterday, and I went into that hoping it was going to be one of those 22 of 25 type games where it was all really safe stuff.
Just screens and,
right.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to be Kansas City up by two touchdowns, so they've got 5-yard, 10-yard cushions on everybody. And it wasn't that. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it because the guy is a 6th-round pick starting it's his first start in the NFL. So I don't want to make this out like this is Kurt Warner coming in for Trent Green back in the day and it's going to be the greatest show on turf. All I'm saying is that I saw a whole lot of things in that Chiefs game where I'm like, well, crap, this is not a manufactured 22 of 25.
Especially given what you saw the Texans defense do versus Drew Brees. Now, Gardner Mayhew is no Drew Brees, but the Texans defense didn't even put up a fight in the second half.
Right.
They considered it a success if they got a field goal in the second half. They only stopped the Saints offense once in the second half.
Right.
Out of 6 drives, they stopped them once. That's a concern going against anybody that can actually throw the football. That's where I'm really curious to see, and this is the exciting part. What do we see out of Lonnie Johnson?
Yeah.
Lonnie Johnson, is he going to play on the outside some? How many snaps does he get? Phillip Gaines, does he come in? And I would imagine that Phillip Gaines is better than Aaron Colvin just because there are at least 32 slot corners in the NFL right now that are better than Aaron Colvin. It was just he was just not in a good place. So they should be improved just by that.
He can't be worse.
Right.
Like he can't be worse. I'm with you on the Lonnie Johnson thing. You can break down the release of Aaron Colvin any way you want to. On the negative side, A, did they wait too long to do it? B, I mean, this is a complete failure of a free agent that's going to get paid $7.5 million to sit at home. On the plus side, though, and we had a lot of people point this out to us yesterday, I think a lot of people like this new urgent Texans. So you forget about the price tag of the things they're doing for a second, but just the level of urgency to where a guy needed to be held accountable for a poor performance on Monday. He was held accountable, and I don't know that this is a roster full of guys that need messages sent to them, but I think there were a lot of fans out there that felt like, man, after Monday, I want my pound of flesh, and in the moment, it felt pretty good. No disrespect, Aaron Colvin. Felt good to a lot of fans out there whose Tuesday mornings were ruined by Aaron Colvin's poor performance.
I was looking on Twitter last night. I was looking at Texans Bill at @_Reliant on Twitter, and I think it was Texans Bill that made the point that, hey, the media spends the whole offseason criticizing the Texans for not using their cap space. Now that they're aggressive and they are using their cap space, we're screaming that they're using too much of it. And I think that's fair criticism to a certain degree. I don't mind using the cap space, but that doesn't mean you should overspend in each individual circumstance. When it comes to cutting Aaron Colvin, I don't worry about that cap space at all. Now, habitually, you don't want to get in the habit of signing guys that don't work out, obviously. Right. But the cap space that Aaron Colvin is costing to get rid of a problem, I don't worry about that. That's good. Cutting, keeping Aaron Colvin around just because you're paying money is throwing good money after bad. You take it on the chin, you get rid of him, so be it. I approve of all of that.
Yeah, this is not a great time of year normally for deal making. If all of this activity that William O'Brien, general manager, is in the midst of right now is just him maybe overpaying on some of these deals because it's not a deal making time of year.
Yeah.
But he urgently sees needs on this football team and he just wants to address those needs. If it's indicative of that urgency, but the maybe lack of what looks like a lack of perception of value in these moves is not going to be something that goes forward. Like, this is sort of a one-time thing that the plethora of cap space and draft picks that you have avail you to. Then okay, then I'm cool. Like, you know what? Then you went on that splurge.
Yeah.
And you looked at your bank account and you said, I can't splurge anymore. That it's was like, fun, but I can't splurge anymore.
The thing that always comes back to mind, this is my apolitical take on this. When W first came into office and there was a surplus, and he gave all of us money.
That was nice.
I was like, this is cool. I like getting this check, but I also like, I don't feel like this is maybe the right thing to do, W.
Yeah. And, I like schools and roads.
Well, no, but also there's a matter of saving for a rainy day.
Yeah.
It's not, there's a little bit of, man, yeah, this is nice, but also, come on, let's take it easy.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about with, cause Bill O'Brien just came into office. Bill O'Brien is just now and has this surplus. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
The most entertaining part of what you just said was your contention that would be an apolitical take.
No, it was.
The text page has a funny way of deciding what's political and not political.
Because I think a lot of Republicans would agree that there's certain things. When you start talking about fiscal policy, we can disagree within the party. It's okay.
Yeah, there you go.
But you're right. I brought up W. I'm screwed.
If Jack Easterby were still with the Patriots.
Look, we'll get to Hillary next. Trust me.
Antonio Brown actually be a Patriot? And also, how would Easterby have handled some of the off-the-field situations we've seen with the Texans the last few years? We'll do that next. Your next chance to win tickets to the game on Sunday is going to be sometime in the next few minutes, between 8:45 and 9 o'clock. So be listening. Stick around with us here. You got to listen for the cue to call. And then when you call, follow the instructions. And if you're the lucky one, you're going to be on your way to watch the Texans beat the Jags this weekend 24-16. That's my early prediction.
Somebody just asked a question on the text line that caught my eye and asked, how many times were the tight ends targeted on Monday night?
That's a good question.
It's a really good question because not
many. Do that thing where you talk and I'll look it up.
Well, not many is the answer. I think part of that was that the Saints did a good job of limiting the bootleg. And people asked me after the game, why don't the Texans run more bootleg? They tried in that game. I thought Bill O'Brien did a good job of getting Deshaun Watson out of the pocket, but the Saints were also really doing their best to limit the bootleg, and there were times where Deshaun tried to run it, but it was right into the teeth of a corner blitz. There were other times where the defensive end or the outside linebacker was rushing upfield, really focused on stopping the bootleg. So if they're going to try to limit and stop the bootleg there, a lot of times your first target in a bootleg is the tight end. I think that's at least part of it. But it is something to watch for as the season progresses. I think the tight ends are going to get more involved. The tight ends, I think.
Two is the answer.
Two targets.
Jordan Akins was targeted twice. He had one catch. It was that 17-yard catch where he caught it. It was about a 3-yard catch, but then the guy on the Saints missed the tackle. And Akins waltzed up the sidelines for another 15 yards.
Right. Yeah. That was a nice run after catch by him.
Yes, it was.
So, and Darren Fells helped in the blocking game. Akins, I'm encouraged by his progress as a blocker. He had a couple of rough snaps as a blocker, but he's made progress. So, I would, for the fantasy implications, I know people will start to have questions about this. I think they're going to be more involved as time goes by. I don't know if it's this week, but it was more the specific game plan of the Saints defense that limited those guys in that game. And Deshaun did a great job reacting to all that. I think the Saints really threw a lot at him. They threw a lot at the offensive line. They tried to use all that noise to their advantage and it worked. It worked to the tune of 6 sacks, but Deshaun had some rough snaps versus the blitz, but he also adjusted to it a few times really well, including the Kenny Stills touchdown at the end. That was no safety help over the top. They overloaded it to Deshaun's left, and he just unleashed it versus zero coverage with a guy hitting him as he did it. That was beautiful.
Here's Bill Belichick, New England Patriots head coach, when he was asked yesterday about the plans for Antonio Brown over the next few days.
Are you preparing to have Antonio Brown practice today?
Yep.
And Are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day at a time, just like we always do.
Are you preparing for the possibility that he could be on the commission?
We're preparing for one day at a time.
All right, so here's where things are at with Antonio Brown. He practiced yesterday. They're waiting to see if he's, well, one of the things they're waiting to see is if he's even available for Sunday, because there's chatter that he may be put on the commissioner's exempt list while this investigation is hashed out to the alleged rape that he is in the civil suit.
That's Goodell's way of punting and saying, okay, we know you're innocent until proven guilty, but it's a really bad look if it turns out that you are guilty, but we can't fine you money for something that you, as of now, we can't say you did. I feel like
he would get paid, but he would not be able to practice.
Right. Which is a big punishment for somebody that has a short career. Now, obviously, it's not a big punishment if he's guilty. But there's a matter of due process here, where you have to go through the process. And I think that Goodell likes using that commissioner exempt list as a way of looking at the situation, saying, okay, there's a whole lot of smoke here, and we don't feel comfortable with it. We're going to go ahead and put you on layaway for a while until we can sort more things out. So it's really a question of how much can the NFL learn about this really quickly.
Yeah.
And I would guess until we learn more about it, I think that he's going to play this Sunday unless some bombshell drops in the next 3 days. And it's Antonio Brown, so I would imagine there's a good chance of a bombshell.
Is the favorite right now. Now
he's completely unrelated to this. Might happen.
Right. Yeah. Who knew that a civil suit over a rape charge was going to be happening when he signed with the Patriots on Saturday night?
Yeah.
So who knows what the next thing to come out of left field is going to be with Antonio Brown? Now the alleged victim has said she's going to meet with the NFL. She's going to cooperate with the NFL and meet to talk about the three incidents that she was involved in with Brown.
One of our listeners said that. And I don't know, I searched for this, I didn't find it immediately, but one of our listeners said that she can't talk to the NFL right away, that there's going to be a delay. So I don't know exactly what's happening with that. And now it all depends. I think a lot of times people want to do a certain thing, and then the lawyers get to them and say, look, it's not in your best interest to go talking to the NFL, who then can, just like in a criminal case, they can use whatever they get against you or whatever. You just, playing it close to the vest is typically the best thing.
Yeah.
The way it's being handled right now, it's hard because Antonio Brown has just had nothing but chaos surrounding him for the last 6 months. And maybe he's completely innocent here and he's the victim. Maybe he's completely guilty. We don't have a clue. It's just one more thing stacked on top of, man, it's always something.
Yeah.
You know, people get to a point where it's always something, and even when something isn't their fault, it's still kind of their fault because they just invite all of this so much. And that's where I am with Antonio Brown. I'm not talking about in a legal sense or what he should play, but in terms of how I feel about Antonio Brown and if I would want him on his team, on my team, it's just always something, man.
Yeah.
It's always something. Maybe you are completely innocent here, but it's still just one more damn thing with you.
I'm a little surprised that the Patriots would invite this type of drama onto their team when, you know, and it's easy to say now that, is receiver a great position of need for this team? Look what they did in week one. Philip Dorsett had 2 touchdowns, and Josh Gordon sure looks good. But then you say those names, and you go, okay, well, this is why they need Antonio Brown. Who knows when Philip Dorsett's going to turn back into what he's been for his entire time in the league? Who knows when Josh Gordon's going to fall off the wagon and run afoul of the league via the next drug test? They don't have Rob Gronkowski anymore. Julian Edelman, you know, he's a year removed from having an ACL tear, and he had a PED suspension a year ago. So I guess maybe I'm talking myself into why, at least from a depth chart standpoint, they would need and want Antonio Brown. But I think they're going to have a very short fuse with this type, and a very short leash with respect to any sort of off-field drama with him.
You know, one of the questions, since you just mentioned Gronkowski, would be, hey, if receiving threats are what they want, is Rob Gronkowski around and available? And he had a little eyeball emoji tweet the other day where it got people wondering if he was going to announce it.
Was he eyeballing all the stuff going on with the Patriots?
I think what people thought was, because I think this was even before the Antonio Brown stuff, I think what people thought was like, hey, watch out, I'm about to make an announcement.
Mm.
And people wondered whether it meant he was coming back. A lot more people said, no, he's about to hawk some product. And it turns out that's what he was doing on the floor of the, was it the New York Stock Exchange?
It was one of the stock exchanges. Do we have the audio?
Yeah, we have the audio. This is Rob Gronkowski on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, venerable institution that it is.
All right, Jen, thank you so much. We're excited to have you guys here on the floor. Rob, tell us about your new partnership with Abacus Health.
Yes, this is my business partner right here. I'm an investor into CBD Medic. It's a topical cream with CBD in it. It has pharmaceutical-grade ingredients with camphor and menthol, and it relieves that pain that you're looking for on muscle aches, arthritis, joint pain, whatever it is like that, in that category, and it just works amazing. To tell a little story, jammed my three toes, absolutely blistering, couldn't walk that well, you know, in the shoes, put the CBD Medic cream on it, boom, gave me that relief I was looking for. That's what you need. You get to go throughout the day, and you get to have that relief. You don't have to be in that pain. This stuff works. This stuff's awesome. You want to invest in it, baby, because that's what I do. You want to do it. Let's go. Perry, tell them all about it.
Yeah. I love the battle. The last
but part wait, there's more.
I forgot. Like, at the very end, this is a pitch to investors because we're watching this on, what, MSNBC or something, right? So this is an investor show. That part of it was he took the Billy Mays and just amped it up into, I'm also an investment advisor here. This is what you need to invest in.
I think anytime your investment advisor tacks the word baby onto the end of a pitch, that makes me want to buy immediately.
Can you imagine?
You want this CBD oil, baby.
He's like out of boiler room. This is what you want to invest in, baby. What do you, you got to go check with your wife? Maybe, what do you, check your testicles at the door? Invest in CBD oil, baby.
Baby.
How many shares? Is it 68? Is it 70? You know what I'm getting at.
So at the end of the day, is Gronk coming back, or is this what is?
This is what, he is eyeballing. No. He was doing an announcement about this, and I think that he's got to be careful. By the way, I was in the supplement industry for a little bit, making claims about pain relief. Very, very dicey. And especially when you're doing it to investors. Got to be careful there, Gronk.
You want to invest in it, baby?
Baby. Yeah, baby. I feel
let me hear that again.
You want to invest in it, baby?
Play. Okay, hang on, Jonesy, hang on. Play it one more time, but I want the listener that's hearing this right now to picture Gronk crotch chopping after he says the word baby.
You want
to
invest in it, baby?
Bam!
Crotch chop. Yeah, it makes it better. By the way, a lot of texts coming in. The alleged victim in the Antonio Brown rape case is getting married this weekend.
Right.
That's why she can't meet with the league. She had previous plans.
So I would imagine this, and I guess it's important. I think it's relevant that there's no criminal case at this point because I feel like the urgency of it and maybe the evidence surrounding it is going to be pretty murky. If at some point she went to authorities and the authorities decided not to press charges, then I would imagine the NFL has some leeway here to say, like, okay, the evidence is obviously going to be hard to sort through if somebody chose, if that's what happened.
Right.
If the authorities chose not to press charges, why did they not press charges?
So if Jack Easterby is still the character coach for the New England Patriots, do you think Antonio Brown is a New England Patriot? Does the presence
now,
of Easterby...
Are you saying would they bring him in?
Yes. Is he on the team right now?
Yeah, I think he is. I think if Easterby were with the Patriots, that becomes his project, right? Yeah. That's the guy that he's... That's why he's here. That's what it disappointed me with Clowney a little bit. I was hoping that if Clowney and O'Brien had somehow come to an impasse, then how come Easterby couldn't somehow reach out to Clowney? The answer is
be like a marriage counselor.
Well, Clowney wasn't under contract. That's why I guess the shame of it is, what if Easterby had been here last season? What if Easterby had gotten his hooks into Clowney, brainwashed him, and brought him into the cult that they're trying to form over there? Which is good. I'm all for it. Clemson's a damn cult, and I love it. Love it. Give me a cult like Clemson. So if Easterby...
13-3,
If Easterby
in a big vat of Kool-Aid out there.
If Easterby could have gotten Clowney to drink the Kool-Aid...
Yeah.
1 year ago, would we have been in a different situation right now?
It's a fair question to ask.
So likewise with Antonio Brown, I would imagine Easterby would want to sit down with him and talk to him about his goals and what he, with Antonio Brown, I think part of it is usually when somebody acts out and they're asocial, sometimes they don't even know what they're actually going for in life. Whatever Antonio Brown is looking for in terms of getting validation from social media or validation from publicity or whatever it is, I think he's looking for it in the wrong places. I think Easterby can talk to a guy like that and maybe reframe the way Antonio Brown looks at the world. As much as I like to have fun with the concept of Easterby, he seems to have that magic touch.
Yeah.
He seems to be one of those people that just has an effect on people, that somehow talks to them and, like, a therapist or a preacher or whatever it is, kind of gets them to refocus their lives.
I want to rapid fire role play a few of the things that have happened with the Texans here in a minute. All right, so just a few rapid fire here, Seth. If Jack Easterby were here during the Ryan Mallett alarm clock slash missing flights saga, what would those heart to hearts have looked like?
Ryan Mallett. I don't know if Ryan Mallett would have,
is he rehabilitatable?
I don't know if Easterby could have rehabilitated Ryan Mallett. As we just saw, Ryan Mallett just had himself a DUI, which happens to people, but Ryan Mallett's now got a long string of irresponsible behavior. I think it goes back too deep with Ryan Mallett.
So you're saying that Easterby, he would have been beyond the fixing hands of a Jack Easterby?
Unfortunately, I think maybe. I think Ryan Mallett might just, his issues are that deep.
What about the three rookies who got caught smoking weed in the hotel?
I think that it may not have gotten to that point because Jack Easterby, those guys got cut immediately afterwards, which leads me to believe that it wasn't their first offense, that something else had happened. One of them was, Sam Montgomery was one of them.
Sam Montgomery was one of them.
That's right, yeah. I think those guys stick around, and I think that Jack Easterby would have been, tried to bring them along a little bit more.
What would Jack Easterby have said to Deshaun Watson when video surfaced of him playing Nerf hoop with Mia Khalifa, the adult film star?
I think that he would have believed Deshaun's story that Deshaun would have come up with in the moment, which would be, I was talking to her about saving her soul. And Jack Easterby, well, that's fine of you. That's fine
one
of
less
Deshaun.
Soul I'll
are
need
we,
to
Are
save.
We judging Deshaun for being in a room when he was clearly there to try to coax her back into the normal world?
And play a delightful game of Nerf hoop, which can be a lot of fun.
Not to mention, Mia Khalifa recently came out and said that she claims she only earned $12,000 while she was in pornography.
Do you believe that?
I do believe it, actually, because
she's a big name.
Now she made money off of other things because of the notoriety she got from being in those movies. I would imagine that, it doesn't surprise me though, as far as for the actual videos.
Yeah.
So I think that, Deshaun would have thought fast on his feet like he did on Monday night versus the Blitz.
He would have.
And he would have explained that he was just counseling her.
How would Easterby have handled the Ed Reed situation?
Which part?
Part.
Would he have stolen the money from him?
The part.
Probably.
No.
You would have called it a tithe.
No. No, not that part.
Okay.
Although it does equate out to about 10% of a paycheck for Ed Reed. No, the whole part about Ed Reed going and getting surgery after signing the big guaranteed deal.
Oh.
The whole part about Ed Reed not really wanting to get on the field. The whole part about Ed Reed trashing Wade Phillips on the way out the door.
I would say that hopefully with Easterby, what would have happened with the whole Ed Reed situation was that Ed Reed never would have actually gotten signed on the team.
Mm.
There was a big disconnect. Wade Phillips reportedly wasn't consulted about Ed Reed actually coming onto the team. Ed Reed comes onto the team, doesn't really fit Wade Phillips' system and what he likes to do. I think that with what Jack Easterby is trying to do with streamlining the organization and communication, I don't think that necessarily would have happened. That's one advantage of not having a GM would be that Rick Smith wouldn't have done something that perhaps Wade Phillips didn't want because they would have been more on the same page.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.